So our second scripture reading is a little different than what you're used to today. It's the Wisdom of Solomon. And you won't even find it in your Bible in the pew, so I won't have you open it, but you can follow along on the projection. My Bible that I was given for seminary, the Harper Study Bible, is got all of the Apocrypha in it, and the Wisdom of Solomon is one of those books of the Bible in the Apocrypha. So listen now to the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 6, verses 12 to 16. Hear the word of God. Wisdom is radiant and unfading, and she is easily discerned by those who love her, and is found by those who seek her. She hastens to make herself known to those who desire her. One who rises early to seek her will have no difficulty, for she will be found sitting at the gate. To fix one's thought on her is perfect understanding, and one who is vigilant on her account will soon be free from care, because she goes about seeking those worthy of her, and she graciously appears to them in their paths and meets them in every thought. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Now, this Wisdom of Solomon book of the Bible is also called the Book of Wisdom. And I wrote a brief explanation about this book in your bulletin to help you understand how it fits into the books of the Apocrypha. So that's here in your bulletin in the Did You Know section, if you haven't seen it yet. The Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox churches all include the Apocrypha in their Bible readings. But our lectionary just occasionally gives this book as an option. So I decided to choose the Wisdom of Solomon as the lectionary option for preaching this Sunday. We are all seeking wisdom, especially in the aftermath of these fires, trying to cope with a new reality that we didn't ever expect to have to cope with. Our whole country, though, is still reeling from the tragic shootings that happened at the Sutherland Baptist Church most recently, and we have not yet totally healed from the Las Vegas shootings either. We've gone from the hurricanes that hit Florida and then Puerto Rico to the firestorms that hit us while still being shaken up by the traumatic shootings and then the truck crash murders that keep happening around our country and around the whole world. The chaos and the disruptions seem to be intensifying almost daily. So, where do we look for wisdom in the midst of the chaos? The Bible is always a good, reliable source, as you might expect, I would say. And about wisdom in the midst of chaos, the Bible tells us to pray, to remember God's promises, to be patient during trials and tribulations, to trust the slow work and the healing power of God, to not give up hope, and to not be afraid. God is with us in the midst of all this. God knows our troubles and our sorrows, and God is a trustworthy comfort who can give us a sense of peace that may surpass all human understanding despite the chaos around us. Others have grasped onto this hope from the Bible's wisdom, but worded it a little bit differently. Shakti Gawain says this about chaos and wisdom. Times of chaos and uncertainty can lead to new doors opening, especially when we are willing and able to look for the growth opportunities in a situation, rather than simply being overwhelmed by outside circumstances. And an article on this topic by Brian Pulsever says, "The issue with chaos is to frame it within the confines of your mind so it does not overwhelm your thinking and your life. Life is rarely tranquil. The answer lies in our beliefs. What we believe helps to clarify, categorize, and deal with the chaos in life. Belief in God helps sort through all the miseries and problems, for it is that belief that we are all creatures of God that helps us understand and trust that we can deal with chaos by turning our lives towards the Almighty Spirit. With this determination, we feel at peace. So once you're determined to control the chaos with the peace of Christ within you, each day then becomes an opportunity to do what life demands, to grow, to adapt, to go with the flow of the Holy Spirit. You can lead your life where you participate, too, in the reduction of the suffering, and that is the sense of purpose that God gives each one of us, to seek out ways to reduce the suffering around us. Or you can contribute to the suffering by doing nothing. Life is a calling that you can embrace, where chaos can be tamed and feel manageable when you reach out to help others deal with it too. Or you can despair and believe you have no impact on the suffering around you. It's a choice that God gives us in the free will of being citizens of God's grace. Do not let chaos and suffering rule your life. You have the inner ability to change how and what you think. And these self-perceptions that you have about it are strong, just as strong as the powerful wind or an earthquake. I thought this quote was especially good. It says, "Peace is accepting today, releasing yesterday, and giving up the need to control tomorrow." I think that need to control is one of the hardest things that we have to deal with. And then reframe your wounds into wisdom. That's what I put on the cover that Oprah happened to say too. Reframe your wounds into wisdom. As a therapist, that's one of the goals you always have for the clients that come to you, is helping them reframe whatever suffering or struggle they're going through, help them reframe it in their mind in a way that's positive and manageable and something that they can do to help it be better. So reframe your wounds into wisdom. Make the trauma and experience that taught you how to survive in maybe a new way that you haven't had to survive before. There's always that famous quote that it's been said by someone anonymously. It says, "In happy moments, praise God. In difficult moments, seek God. In quiet moments, trust God. And in every moment, thank God." And I think that's probably one of the hardest things when you're really suffering and you're sick or something tragic feels like it's happened. To thank God in that moment is probably the hardest thing to do. And yet, probably the biggest role model that I have for a real tragic situation, I keep going back in my mind to Kenya, to the woman who survived the rifts that happened between the Luo and the Kikuyu tribes back in the previous presidential election that caused them to burn out each other's churches, to burn out each other's villages. And she saw right before her, her father, her mother, her children killed by these tribal people that were so angry. And she ran for her life with her little 2-year-old. And when I talked with her about how she survived, she said, "God was with me the whole time. I know God was with me the whole time." And she was thankful for that. And it just amazed me how someone could be thankful during a time of such tragedy. But it's possible, and it gave her that strength and resilience that she needed to survive. Chaos can be a state of being where we make our greatest discoveries about who we are and what we are capable of doing. It's where we really come alive if we're willing to lean into it. It can be a place where we release the need to control everything around us. It can be a time to let go of the extraneous things that hold us back from growth and adaptation. Life is natural chaos. Our job isn't to create perfect order, even though the Presbyterian Church theme is everything done decently and in order. That's always a goal, but I think they know we never quite get there. Decently and in order is something that Calvin came up with, I think, because he was hoping to control some of the chaos around the Reformation. But life is about adapting, exploring, creating, expanding, and evolving within the inevitable disorder of life. Accepting that life is chaos is a wise way, actually, to move forward in the journey. I love the scripture that was used in Lou Gobble's service yesterday that described how he strived to live his life. In times of chaos, it's good to choose a scripture or center your faith on something that you believe to be true found in the Bible. Lou especially liked the quote from Romans 12 that says, "Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and extend hospitality to strangers." So when your life feels chaotic, center yourself on passages like these that remind you of how to behave and what you are to do to move forward. They are like touchstones that keep you on the path. Another way to stay on the path is to take time to grieve and to feel the pain of what is real. Fears and chaos can cause you to try to deny the damage and the hurt that you really are feeling. But that kind of denial will catch up with you eventually. So Mark Nepo describes this as the practice of being real. This practice includes unlearning the tendency to just try to absorb hits along the journey of life and then pretend that nothing has changed. Putting our energy into trying to maintain the pretense that nothing has happened to hurt us will eventually drain all of our energy. But when we admit we feel hurt about the latest hit that we received in life, and when we practice being real about our pain or our sadness, then the energy of realness helps us to express truth. And that expression of truth releases light and warmth, allowing others to come around and connect to us and provide support that God wants us to receive from one another. Helen Keller is one of my greatest role models of wisdom and resilience. And she said, and it's similar to the Shakti quote before, she said, "When one door of happiness closes, another opens. But often we look so long at the closed door that we do not see the one that has opened for us." Isn't that true? We focus on the things that are no longer here. Helen Keller's family was originally from Ireland, and so maybe it was her Celtic ancestry that gave her such a wise and compassionate brain. In the wisdom of the Celts, it is understood that the greatest wisdom is human kindness and hospitality. Jesus taught hospitality and welcomed everyone to his table. The Celts believed hospitality was the core value for a successful civilization. Hospitality is the foundation of the other core values in Scotland and in Ireland, too. They believe that it also is the foundation for religious tolerance, unity in diversity, and equal rights for all, which our nation was founded on, too, since many of those who founded our nations came from a Celtic background. An article by Carl McColman on Celtic hospitality emphasized the wisdom of keeping two principles of hospitality that facilitate our ability to adapt to chaos. The first principle is let things be imperfect. And the second, let miracles unfold slowly. McColman explained that this meant be hospitable towards your imperfect self as you seek ways to cultivate hospitality in your imperfect world. Now, this wisdom of being hospitable to yourself first is straight from the Bible's command to love yourself. So today, remember, loving your neighbor as yourself first requires you to love yourself. So let's spend some time loving ourselves with a body prayer. This is adapted from the movements that we're learning in Qigong on Mondays from Josepha. Mondays at noon, if you want to come. It's a wonderful class. It's a little bit different than Tai Chi. It's a little bit simpler and slower and flows a little bit differently. So instead of stating the words, though, that we do in Qigong, we're going to do a body prayer that'll help us feel God's peace that surpasses all understanding in our body, mind, and spirit. So I ask that you all please stand. I'm going to do it down here. Hopefully the choir can see me. Okay, start in put your feet far apart enough so you feel stable. We're going to start in what's called a prayer position. And you can keep your eyes open during this body prayer. You don't have to close your eyes. Now take a deep breath in and breathe in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And then breathe out any toxins or bad breath in your body. And now embrace God's love. It's like holding a big beach ball. Embrace God's loving energy. Sit there for a while and feel the energy between your hands. In Qigong, she says to embrace the tiger, which represents energy. But today in this body prayer, we're embracing God's loving energy. Now push outward to the side any toxins or bad feelings in your body and pull in God's grace and loving power. And then push out ahead of you any feelings that you must let go of, anxiety, tension, fear. And then pull in God's peace, wisdom, and tranquility. And then reach up to the divine power of God and let God's light of hope shine down upon you. And go back to the prayer stance in gratitude and thanksgiving for all God has given you. Let's do it again. Take a deep breath and breathe in God's wisdom. And let out any toxins. Embrace God's loving energy. Push out anything toxic, any bad feelings. And pull in God's grace and love. Push out any stress or fears, and pull in God's peace and wisdom and tranquility, and reach up to God's divine power, and let the light of hope shine down upon you. And end with gratitude and thanksgiving. I'll do it one more time without any words. You may be seated. Do this body prayer daily, every morning and evening before you go to bed. Even if you don't move your feet very much, this is increasing the flow of the circulation in your body, and you'll feel more balanced, you'll feel more peace. God wants you to be wise in the way you take care of yourself, and especially your body, mind, and spirit. And that begins with love for yourself. This is a way to feel God's love and peace. Love for God, love for yourself, and love for others, the most important things in your life. So may love be your path of wisdom as you cope with the chaos of life. Amen.